We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Here we go from Indy Estimate Trucking.
If Coach Golden was to take a head coaching job somewhere else next season, who would be your ideal coach to go after to replace him? And what are your thoughts on promoting Coach Mickens? Yeah,
we got asked this earlier in the week, so I won't rehash it too much. But I would be very intrigued by the idea of hiring Mike Mickens. I just have to learn more about what he would do as a coordinator and. You know, what his beliefs, like, I know that from a corner, he's one of the best cornerback coaches in college football. I mean, he just is. And he's a really good recruiter. He's a better coach than he is a recruiter as well. And his coaching leads to him, his recruiting success. Cause guys are like, I want to play for that dude. He's very genuine. I think that's another reason kids like him, but I don't know enough about his philosophy on how to implement a four set, you know, your four down front or what your, you know, your run schemes are, what your run fits philosophy is, what your blitz scheme. I don't know any of that stuff. And I would have to learn that more before I could say that. But I would say this, if I'm Marcus Freeman, he's absolutely going to sit down with me and give him a chance to sort of be that pitch. I still feel like an ideal scenario for Coach Mickens would be to have a genuine co-coordinator situation, not where he gets it in name only, but where you bring in somebody to coach the linebackers, they're co-coordinators. They genuinely work together to put a defense together. Cause I believe co-coordinators can work more, even better on defense than offense. Vince, I wouldn't have told you that 10 years ago, but I've just seen it work too well at too many places. As long as there's clearly defined responsibilities and who we all know who's in charge, that's something where I would feel really good about that. And then if that co-coordinator, you know, if Mick shows his ability to thrive in that, then he's, you know, moves up to permanent coordinator if that guy moves on for some reason. So that's what I would be interested in. But honestly, I just don't know enough about Coach Mickens' philosophy on things that don't have to do with cornerbacks to be able to give you an honest answer for that. But I'd be very intrigued by it. Cause I'm like, look, if you know football, you know football, right? I mean, that's my default position. And if he's that smart with corners, I doubt he doesn't understand what's happening around the other,
right,
the other nine positions, but I don't know what his philosophy would be. So I can't really say, but I would be very intrigued by it because I want to keep Mike Mickens here as long as possible.
That's the key right there is I want to keep Mike Mickens on staff as long as possible. And if I, again, you have to do your due diligence. You got to interview, you got to talk to him, you got to understand him, you got to see where he wants to take the defense, obviously. But I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep Mike Mickens on my staff. I'll just say it that way.
Yeah, I dig that. I dig that. And I don't know who the ideal coach would be overall to replace him. I don't know who's available at the current time. So,
right.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You got another one from Indie Estimate Trucking.
If the projected offensive line starters were not on the roster using the backups, who would be your ideal pairing across the line?
So let's say we're going to play Louisville. We're driving the bus, and the bus breaks down that has the starting offensive line on it. Okay? They're not there for the game. What would be my starting lineup be? Tosh Baker. Probably at left tackle.
Okay, I see the premise now. Right. I was very confused as to what the question was asking. So, okay, I'm on board now.
I'd have Emil Wagner at right guard, or right tackle, excuse me. I'd have, well, whoever doesn't win the starting job at right guard between Rocco Spindler and Andrew Krstovic, not starting there.
Yep.
I would have Ashton Craig as my center, and I would have Charles Jagasol as my left guard. That'd probably be where I would go.
That works.
That would be my five.
Yeah, it works.
So, is that
I like it.
So, whoever doesn't start between Rocco Spindler and Andrew Krstovic is my other guard. I just don't know who that would be right now.
Right.
So, yep. All right.
Thank you so much for the super chat, Bayside Tiger 6. Also been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Notre Dame wins a championship. IB produces a video covering the season. If you can choose anyone, who's your narrator?
Ooh. I'm trying to sell videos, right, Vince? So you do a great job and you have a great voice.
It's voiceover work, baby. I got
yes,
this.
You've got the voice for it, but do you have the name?
Well, no, I don't. I would have the same person that did the voiceover work for the Chicago Cubs World Series DVD that I have. I would have the same person do the national championship, Vince Vaughn.
Okay.
That's who I would have.
I would have it's one of three people for me. Okay. I'm gonna go a different direction than you are.
Okay.
Number one is Jerome Bettis.
Okay.
Number two, Tony Rice.
You are going in
and number
direction.
Three, I'm going to go in a completely different direction. Jim Caviezel.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think him doing narrating for something would be really good. Those would be my three. I would have and there's tons that would be fun to do it for, right?
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Here's the reality of it, though. Who would I ultimately pick? It'd be Vince, because I can't afford any of those other guys.
Hey, now, I'm going to charge big dollars. At least $25 is going to be what I'm going to charge you to do.
Yeah, there's some other ones like James Earl Jones, Morgan Freeman. Those would be great ones.
Well, yeah.
Those would be great
obviously.
Ones.
But those are, I feel like those are right. The obvious answers. You know what I right. mean? Like,
but I would not take James Earl Jones, right? And here's why. For me, when I hear the voice of James Earl Jones, I think of two things. I think of CNN. Because remember, he would, this is CNN. Remember that as kids? That was James Earl Jones.
Okay. Yeah.
And the other one would be, I think of Darth Vader. And I just, sure. I can't have Darth Vader be my narrator for Notre Dame's championship season. So if I had to go somebody famous like that, it would, it, you know, like that kind of famous, it'd be, it, it, you know, you go Morgan Freeman on that one, or Denzel. That'd be another one.
Like Frank Caliendo and just have everything is a different voice.
No.
All
right. You know, Tony Roberts, he'd be someone I'd want to consider. Somebody said Taylor Swift, get the heck out of here with that nonsense.
Taylor Swift.
She can stay as far away from, because she ended up breaking up with our, you know, with our DVD and then, you know, and it wouldn't work out.
She'd write songs about it.
You know what I mean? Like, goodness gracious. Hard pass.
Funny.
I don't know. I don't get that. That's one I don't get. That's really one I don't understand.
The obsession?
Yeah.
It's an obsession, too.
There's famous people that I'm just like, why? That's one I don't get. I really don't get that one. So.
You got whatever. Me. I know, but there's some obsessive people, my boss included. So.
Seriously?
Kind of be on board.
I just don't get that. That's weird. Is your boss a dude?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. I just don't get that one, man. Somebody said Pat Hayden. Roger Dodger, you're my dude, and I like having you in here, but you've almost crossed a line there.
Wow, are you that anti-Pat Hayden?
I am. Wow. I've listened to him suck as Notre Dame's color guy for a decade, and so, yes, I hard pass on that one, but yeah. All right, here we go, Vince.
Ryan asks, if you had to guess, who of Notre Dame's commits shoots up the rankings during their senior season? I'm going to say
whichever one.
Bryant Young's kid.
Bryce
Young. I think he is a very unfinished product at the moment. I love his ceiling, but I think he could vault up some boards.
So you're looking at it realistically and practically. Just smart. I'm looking at it as real rankings and not my rankings. And I would say whoever is still getting recruited by other teams that they can then use that to justify rising him up as long as he still goes with Notre Dame. In all seriousness, though, I think he's one. Isaiah Canyon's one. Cole Mullins would be one if people were smart. And, you know, he'd be another one. Those are guys that I look at and say that I could see those guys going up lists. Styles Prescott, because he's very criminally underrated right now, is one who should see a jump, especially if the height weight that I was given the other day on him is legit, which was 6'6 and an eighth and 289 pounds. Okay. So if that's legit, then he's really filling out. And yeah, so this is a great comment here. Taylor Swift is a musical abomination, yet another sign of the looming apocalypse.
Wow.
And I thought I didn't like Taylor Swift.
Seriously, that was...
Angelo is taking it to a whole new level of
disdain, of hatred.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the Swifties out there.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I somewhat understand it, but man, you went real dark on that one, buddy.
Wow.
So good questions here real quick. All right. Let's get to some more here, Vince. We got one from Joe Billick.
All right. If you had to change one thing about Notre Dame's iconic gold helmet, what would it be? And why?
You know, Vince,
I have changed perfection. Like that?
I have been back and forth on this one. There are some times I'm like, there's nothing you can do to fix it. There's other times I'm like, you know, I kind of miss the gold helmets from like the early 2000s. I thought those were really sharp, but they weren't like gold like they are now. But I thought some of those were really, really good. The ones where, you know, you'd have to paint them before every game. I kind of liked that.
I like the tradition, but I like the way they look now. I mean,
they
I,
do.
I do.
I think part of the reason I don't like them now is because of the pants. I really do. If I had to do one thing different, I mean, I think they've kind of done it. They have the little shamrock sticker on the back. Don't they do that now? I think they have like a little shamrock sticker on the back of their helmet. That would be the only thing that I would look at. It's hard to, like you said, Vince, it's hard to mess with it. I've said this. The only thing I would ever do in terms of an alternate uniform with the helmet, and I'm pretty adamant about this, is because even like the Yankee Stadium one, I'm one of the few people on the planet that like the Yankee Stadium uniforms. But what I have said is they still should have kept the gold helmet. Like that would have looked sweet.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Yankee Stadium helmet.
No. The uniform. I liked the jersey and the pants. I liked it a lot. I thought, you're playing in Yankee Stadium. It's an ode to the Yankees. But they would have looked a lot better with just the gold helmets. you know, and that would have, oh man, that would have looked so good, I think. But the only alternate helmet I think I've ever really liked was the 2011 Michigan game where they just put a big shamrock right there. Just right a big green gold. Shamrock on the outside. That's the only thing that I think if I had to do something, like let's just say the NCAA passed a rule and said you can't have a solid color helmet, right? So you got to add a stripe or you got to add a logo on the side. Then all I would do is I would say no to the stripe and I just put a gold, a green shamrock right on the side.
Of all the alternate helmets, I've liked that one the most.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Like I was thinking maybe you could do something with the face mask. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know what color. I mean, you're going to make it all gold. But as practically speaking, one of the reasons I like gray face masks is because they're the easiest to see through.
Sure.
Like I think dark face masks can be hard to see through. Bright colors can be hard to see. I mean, because if you're a quarterback, and I'm looking at it from a quarterback standpoint, that's what I'm thinking of. Like, because I played on a team where we had like a maroon face mask and it was visual to me. But whenever I had like growing up when I had like a gold face mask, I mean, excuse me, gray face mask, it just blended in more, you know? And so I think that's another reason why I think practically speaking, the gray makes a lot of sense.
I get it. I would like to see what like the gold chromey face mask would look like just to see it. I can't visualize it good enough with the gold helmet. You know what I mean? But I do kind of dig the chromey looking, you know, face mask when they do that. So I would want to see it, but I just feel like I'm trampling on perfection. So.
Well, that's why I went with if they made me change, if a rule change forced me to do
definitely
something.
Definitely no stripe. Like I've never been a fan of a stripe down the middle, you know, that kind of a thing.
I wouldn't mind ND on there either, Vince, if it was green. But that would be the other thing for me.
I like the shamrock better for sure.
Same here.
Yeah.
Because it's not as, you know, splashy. It's just bam, right? Nice shamrock. So that's some good questions here today.
If they're going to do that, I want somehow, some way, get a little bit of green in the uniform, especially the white. Just going to say that.
Yeah. Here's an interesting one from Jordan Schreiber. Do you think you'll have a better relationship with the new AD? I didn't have a bad relationship with the previous AD. I had no relationship with him. I never met him, never spoke with him. He, as far as I know, never did anything to hinder Irish Breakdown or me or anything like that. Like I had no better. I've had a lot of good things to say about Jack Swarbrick and things that weren't very nice about Jack Swarbrick. Cause that to me is what you should do. When someone does it, I don't know why this isn't hard for people that cover sports and politics. And if someone, no matter what you feel about a person, if they do something that you objectively don't think is the right thing or the good thing or the smart thing, you criticize it. If they do something that's good, that works, that has success, whether it's something you like, you don't like that person or not, then you praise them for it. I don't know why this is freaking hard for people to do. It's like this is like you look at politics, things that one president will do that you hate, because you didn't vote for that guy, the next president will do that you did vote for, and all of a sudden, you know, like I'm anti-war if the guy out of my party wants to go to war. But if my guy wants to go to war, well, yeah, that's a justifiable war. We need to go to war. You know, it's like, hey, I like tax cuts if my guy votes for tax cuts, but if this other guy votes for tax cuts, all of a sudden I found some loophole to make me not like tax cuts. I hate that crap. I'm so sick of that crap. Something is either good or it's not good, right? If somebody does something good, whether you like the person or not, I think the world of Marcus Freeman as a human being. I get along a whole lot better with him than I did Brian Kelly and think of him as a human being. But when he goes out there and does something that isn't good or I think it's a bad move, I'm going to say it. Just like I praised Brian Kelly when he did good things. And so that was the extent of my relationship with Jack Swarbrick. When he did things I liked, I praised him for it. When he didn't, I ripped him for it because that's what we do.
Yep.
And
that's our job, literally the job description.
I didn't have a bad relationship with Jack Swarbrick at all. I don't think some things he did but they weren't personal to us.
Right.
And so I had no relationship with him, and I doubt I'll have much of a relationship with the new AD. Cause you know why? Cause I don't think that the AD gives two rips about what me or anyone at Irish Breakdown thinks about anything.
Right.
You know, so.
Or any other beat reporter, by the way, just throwing it out there.
I'm not saying that they shouldn't care. I think they should. They should always care about people because people like us have a role in shaping the narrative about your program.
Sure.
And so I don't ask me to say something that I don't believe in. Don't ask me, say, hey, could you guys put a story out praising us for doing this? Well, if I believe it, sure. I'll do that. If it's something that I believe in and I actually agree with you, but like, I'm not going to go out there and be your hype man.
Spin doctor. Yeah.
But it certainly does. Like, hey, you guys have the pulse of the fans. You guys talk to them. Why do they get pissed off about this thing? And then we can share with them what our reasons are, what our thoughts are. So they should care to a degree. And from an information gathering standpoint, they should care. Not that they're going to make policy off of anything we suggest, but hey, look here. I talk to a lot of players and they may tell you this to their face, but here's what they tell us. They should care about that. They don't. They don't. But yeah, that's what. Yeah, that's kind of my deal. Here's one, Vince. Let's go to Zach Martin.
All right, it says Vincent Bryan, since 2000, which Notre Dame team sans 2016 let you down the most?
Ooh boy, oh man, that is a good one. Man. 2011 Notre Dame. Yeah, 2011 Notre Dame. You look at how that 2010 season ended. With them winning five in a row, you beat Utah, you beat Miami, you ended the USC streak. You're coming back. You've got Michael Floyd. You've got Tyler Eifert. You've got Harrison Smith, Manti, Darius Fleming, Sierra Wood, Theo in the slot. I mean, you've got all this talent coming back. You just landed an outstanding recruiting class with Aaron Lynch, Stephon Tuitt, Ishak Williams, all those guys. You're starting the season off against South freaking Florida. And you lose. They were like preseason number 11 team in the country that year, Vince. I mean, that team was loaded, Vince. Loaded. I think one time I sat down and like looked at like there was like 19 players from that team that played a lot that spent time in the NFL. 19. And that team went 8-5 and lost to South Florida. Lost to Michigan in the game that they were leading 24-7 going into the fourth quarter. Got beat by a USC team that you shouldn't have no business getting beat by. Lose to freaking Stanford that year as well. And then just choke a game away against Florida State in a bowl game. Like that team was so loaded. And then next you lose Harrison Smith, you lose Michael Floyd, and then the next year you go out and you freaking run the table. It just makes no sense to me. But that I thought that 2011 team, Vince, was going to be really, really, really good, and they let me down big time. I know you're like scouring through the seasons of
research. I'm looking for something that I could realistically like get on board with. I honestly, and this might sound odd, but the way the 2015 season started, right?
Yeah.
Big win over Texas. Like, I'm feeling really, really good about this team. And then, of course, Malik goes down. And then you got the big win over Virginia. You lose to Clemson. You know, it wasn't that the rainstorm and, like, the whole thing. And it was – should have won that game, lost by two. Then they rip off all those wins. And then that loss to Stanford. Just, like – rip my heart out at the end of that season. Like, you lost to Stanford on the road by two, and then you go and you get the doors blown off of you in the Fiesta Bowl by Ohio State. Like, from a disappointment standpoint, right, that season hurt. Like, yeah. It's one of those ones where, like, you're scratching the surface of, like, being a really, really good team and making some waves and doing some things, and that was another year where it's like, okay, you know, they're going to get this New Year's Six monkey off your back, you know, that whole thing. And the loss to Stanford, man, they had so much momentum going into that game and they lost to Stanford.
Yeah.
And that one just, and then they, like I said, you get your doors blown off you by Ohio State. It was just a crappy way to end that season. And
yeah, I get that.
The off season. So that's what I'll go with.
I get that. Here's an interesting one. So, because I don't know if I have an answer to this anymore. He said that outside of Oregon, Michigan, and USC, who has the ugliest uniforms in college football? First of all, I don't think USC has ugly uniforms. I don't. I think they have iconic uniforms. I also don't think Michigan has ugly uniforms. I hate those uniforms because I hate those programs. But I don't think
they're ugly. They're not ugly. I
Oregon has an ugly uniform usually, But when they go with the all, just the Kelly green pants and jersey with the green helmet and a yellow, that those are sweet. 95% of their other 8,463 uniform combinations are hot garbage. But my answer was Maryland.
I was going to say it too, but they've changed
going,
it.
I believe they're going, yes. They're going back to terps. The old one, just terps. And I think that'll look
what they were trying to do with the Maryland flag. It was just, they went all in.
Yeah. Oh, and it just looks like somebody chewed up a Maryland flag and vomited on a helmet. That's basically what it looked like.
Horrible. Horrible.
Who would it be other than that? I'd have to think about that one. I think Tulane's uniforms are pretty ugly. Those weird combinations of like that
green and
the green and the light blue. Yeah. That just looks weird. I don't like that. Let me go down through here. And so I don't like so far they take the cake.
Cause I'm a big uniform guy.
I really
like ordering uniforms, designing uniforms, the whole thing. So
I'm trying to think. I like all the ACC team uniforms. I will say this. I like Pitt a lot more when they use the old school. Yellow.
Yes,
that's a lot sharper.
And the light blue. Like when they went to the Navy, I didn't like the Navy gold Navy combination. And the gold,
I didn't like that.
But the baby blue. This,
one of the ugliest uniform combinations you ever had, Vince, is those ones they wore against Notre Dame in 2020. They were all steel colored.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Those were absolutely hideous.
It was a great thought with like the Steel City and all that, but the execution was really poor.
I think Iowa State has kind of ugly uniforms. I'm not gonna lie; they just have their
color combination is really awful.
Weird.
It's like coming up with good looking uniforms with that color combination is really hard.
I don't like Minnesota's, but I didn't like Minnesota's when they had the maroon helmets, but since they've gone to the gold helmets, I think those are better. So I wouldn't say that they're as. I just don't like that version of green. To be honest with you,
you want to know one uniform combination, color combination that I really do like. Is Washington.
Yes.
I like that deep purple and that gold. Like, that's just a good look, man. Like, I really like the purple and the gold.
Yeah, agree. You know, a team that I've never liked their uniform color, and I don't know what it is about, like, maroon and yellow. I just don't love it if the yellow's too prominent. And that's the thing about USC is the yellow's not super prominent other than the pants.
Right.
Arizona State. Those mustard-looking helmets are just hideous to me. And it just ruins everything else they could possibly do with their uniform. So Arizona State's in that conversation for me, Vince.
I like it when they wear the black. Like that, that's a good look for them.
Yeah. So Purdue's are kind of boring and ugly. I think they're just kind of
They need to they need to go away from like the train track down the middle of the helmet and like it's time to reinvent the Purdue uniform, I think.
Yeah, those would be the ones. Those would be the ones that I would go with there, Vince, for ugliest uniforms.
There's a lot of classic ones out there that people just aren't messing with, which I dig. You know.
Yep, I agree. Rob Osgood has a comment. He says, "I'm happy that the new AD will be involved in the deals. It's like he is getting the groceries for his new kitchen." Yeah, he's certainly helping. I think that's important.
It's going to be. Yeah, it's going to be like a legacy that he's going to have to deal with, too, because, you know, they're going to make those deals and then Swarbrick's going to walk away. You know, and we talk about stability with the coaches and the fact that they've pretty much got the coaches where they want them to be. Mm-hmm. And these two deals are really going to shape who Notre Dame is as a program moving forward from a football standpoint.
Yeah.
The TV deal and the apparel deal like that, it's going to shape Notre Dame because they need to knock the TV deal out of the park. And I don't think they need to knock the apparel deal out of the park so much, but there's a lot riding on it, more so from fans than from I think the school.
Somebody on the message board yesterday asked this question, Vince. And at first I was like, no way, dude. The question was, do you think Notre Dame can get to $100 million a year with the new apparel and TV deal? I was like, no way, dude.
Combined?
And then I looked at the numbers. And right now, Notre Dame's probably going to reset the market on the apparel deal. That's usually how it goes.
Sure.
When a big team gets a new deal, they usually kind of reset the market to some degree.
Yep.
The highest that I could find right now, I think, is Ohio State at like 16.8, and Texas is like right behind it, 16 and some change as well. Let's say Notre Dame gets – that's per year.
Right.
And then, of course, there's like clothes and stuff. But let's say Notre Dame's 18 to 20. And then let's say they're between 60 to 65 a year in well, let's just even go minimum. Let's go 55 a year in TV money. And then let's say they go 18 in apparel money. Well, there's also the 10 million from the ACC. All of a sudden, just like that, they're at 83.
Right.
And then it's like, well, what if they're able to get, like, let's say 65 per year, which is not as big as some of the other conference, but still a lot. And then they get the 10 for the ACC. And let's say they get up to 20 in the new apparel deal.
That's 205.
Now, all of a sudden, you're 95. 95.
Right. Well, that's at 95?
65 plus 10 plus 20. That's 65 plus 10, you're 75 right. plus 20 is 95. So you're a gym teacher, not a math teacher.
It's okay. Yeah.
You thought 95, and then you added the 10 again from the TV deal. That's what you did, right? So but all of a sudden you're like, wow, okay, that's kind of wild. Like, and right, because right now they're at about 35, 36 with the two, because they're about $9 to $10 million a year with Under Armour, 10 million with the ACC deal, and then about 16 with the NBC deal. So about 35, 36. Notre Dame's going to minimum double, if not triple, their current revenue. And that's not even with an insane, like some people are saying, like it could get up to 75 million. I'm not even going there. I don't think it's going to get that high. I don't. I'd be a little surprised by it.
And it also doesn't
negotiating.
But here's the other thing. And I know we're kind of going off on a tangent here a little bit, but they don't need to go any higher than that. Like people are like, well, if they don't get Big Ten money from their TV deal, they're going to have to join the Big Ten. No, they don't.
Well, let's just say they get only 50 in the TV deal. And let's say they only get 15 in the new apparel deal. That's it. Vince, that's still $75 million.
Right.
They're making 35, 36 right now in those platforms.
That's double.
That's big.
Yeah.
For a program that money isn't your issue anyway.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's pretty big. That's pretty huge. Here's an interesting question, Vince, from Jordan Schreiber.
From Jordan. It says, can you rank your favorite years to follow Notre Dame when you were a kid between 88 and 93? Well, I'll answer first because I have a very short answer. It's 93 because that's really when I started following the team. So that was an easy answer. And I kind of said that earlier on in the show. So I'll let you kind of take it from here because I know that obviously 88, they win the title. 89, they darn well probably should have won the title.
That was Lou Holtz's best team.
Yeah.
I felt it. Lou Samogia said that. I mean, that team was so – they were 7-1 that year against ranked opponents. And all of their teams that they beat that were ranked inside the top 20.
I was going to say, they were all highly ranked.
They beat like four or five top 10 teams that year, including number one Colorado in a bowl game. They beat Michigan when Michigan was number two. That team was so good. It's just that stupid third and 43 against Miami was the thing that did them in. That team was better than the 93 team, in my opinion. How I would rank them? 88, number one. Because the question isn't best. The question was favorite.
Favorite.
88, obviously, because that was sort of – it's like your first, right? Sure. A lot of times your firsts are, you know, the ones you look back with the most fondness. I'm not taking that anywhere inappropriate. I just mean like, you know, just – you always remember the first time you went to a Major League Baseball game. I still remember the first college football game I went to. It was like 1989. It was Ohio State, Wisconsin. I still remember that. Like, it was yesterday. Yep. I remember drinking hot cocoa out of like – remember those thermoses, like those thermos mugs that you're like, you know –
oh, yeah.
That your dads and grandpa used to take to work and stuff. Like we're drinking
with
hot
like
cocoa.
With like the red and black, like check, like the plaid, you know.
Like my fifth grade basketball coach was a dentist in Ohio. His name was, his son's name was David Fleck. He was in my grade, Flack. And I can't remember Mr. Flack's name. We just called him Dr. Flack. He was our fifth grade basketball coach.
Because you actually respected adults and called him.
That's right. He's a very good man, very nice man. But he knew I loved football, and they had season tickets to Ohio State, and he knew that they couldn't go to one game, so they gave them to me and my dad, and I thought that was awesome. I mean, I was a Notre Dame fan, but still, it was pretty awesome. I think it was 89.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to actually, now that I think about it, because you know me, stuff bothers me when I don't have it for sure.
I know it does.
It just really annoys me, but I think it was 89. Let me just go look real quick. So did they play Wisconsin at home? Yeah, it was 1989, and it was the last year. It was the last year at Wisconsin for their coach before Barry Alvarez took over, because Barry Alvarez took over the next year. But Ohio State won 42-22, and I remember being at that game. And you know, look, I don't know why I remember that, but I just remember being at that game, right? Because it was my first. So anyway, 88 is my first, but they also won a championship. 93 was that. I loved watching that 93 team, man. They were so much fun to watch. 89 was next, although I don't remember that team quite as much. then the reason that they're actually, 89, I don't remember quite as much. That was the best team, but they're fourth. The 92 team for me was a lot of fun to watch. Like that was the Jerome Bettis, Reggie Brooks year. That team was really fun to watch. 1990 yeah. is 89's next, then 1990. The 1991 team was probably my most of that stretch without question, the least favorite team to watch that year, because they were frustrating because they should have been a lot better than they were, in my opinion. And, you know, they blew a big lead to Tennessee. They got smacked by Penn State. They lost to Michigan. That was, I think, the Desmond Howard. I think that was the Desmond Howard Heisman year, if I remember correctly. That team, to me, just was frustrating to watch. It should have been better, in my opinion. And then the 1990 team, you know what's funny, Vince? Or excuse me, the 1991 team. You know what's funny about that 91 team? That even though they were disappointing, they had one of my favorite bowl games ever.
Oh, really?
That was the year they beat Florida in the Sugar Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, they're going to get killed and
they have
no chance. And
Yeah.
Even though that team was disappointing, that was one of my favorite games.
And that's where they're wearing my favorite away uniforms of all time.
Yep. Yep. Those 90-91 Notre Dame teams were disappointing because they just you just watched 88-89 and you're like sure. 1990, you know, they go 9-3. Like, man, that team lost to Stanford, who went 5-6. Like, what the heck? But you know why I remember that year fondly? Because I remember beating Miami that year, and I remember beating Tennessee on the road. So, I mean, there's some really fun wins that year. The 91 team didn't really have that to me. So those would be ones that I look at and say, hey, those are. I'm through the part of the show where people are talking, or the chat where people are talking about the uniforms and the ones they didn't like. Some people said like LSU. I actually kind of like LSU's uniforms.
They're okay.
They're not ugly. I like them.
Yeah, they're not ugly.
And I like them better when they use the purple thing.
I just like that deeper purple color that Washington uses.
I do too.
I like that deeper purple. So
I like Washington's better. I just don't think LSU's are ugly. I think Florida's uniforms are fine.
I'll tell you, Florida's uniforms, actually.
When Florida goes all white, I don't like that.
Okay.
I don't, because they play on grass and it gets up and being a bunch of green. I don't like that. They said Penn State's uniforms aren't cool, but they're not ugly. They're just boring. Same with Alabama's. Angela says, I think Texas is highly overrated. I actually kind of like Texas's uniforms.
It's simple.
Yeah. The burnt orange, you got the horn on there. I kind of like those. Again, they're not, oh my God, they're the greatest, but they're nice. So somebody said Marshall's uniforms make me sick. I don't like Marshall's uniforms. Same with North Texas. This is it's a weird
green color. Green. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And I don't like Marshall because they beat Notre Dame.
That's true.
I got bad memories.
You would have given them more respect, you wouldn't. That game wouldn't have hurt you as much.
On me.
If somebody says I love old UCLA and Ole Miss's uniforms. I like Ole Miss's uniforms when they go with the light blue.
Right.
I don't like them as much with the navy blue. I like the light
blue. Is navy blue more their actual color though, or is the baby blue like a new look for them?
Well, the baby blue was more of their traditional color, I believe.
Because I don't know. I just remember seeing navy a heck of a lot more than the baby
blue. Yeah. Recently. Well, that was kind of as we were growing up. Let me look at this one, Vince, because I know there's some websites that show uniforms through the years.
Yeah.
Let me just find some of those. The history of Ole Miss uniforms. Let's see if this one does it. Because I am curious, kind of what they were through the years. Some of these are like black and white. So it looks like when Arch Manning was there, it was more of a navy.
Okay.
Well, it wasn't really a navy. It was kind of more of an in-between.
Interesting.
And then in the 70s, they went to sort of that light blue. And then when Eli came back, they went to navy.
Okay.
And then they went to sort of like a, not a light blue, but like a, which I didn't like from 1999 to 2012, it was kind of like a, I don't know. It's just like a. Like a, it looked more like Kansas than anything else. So like Ole Miss is hit or miss with their uniforms for me.
That's fair.
Yeah, they're very hit or miss for me. Fight Mike, I love Clemson's orange and purple. I do like. What's funny is I do like Clemson's uniforms, but they looked really ugly when they played Tennessee because I really like that Tennessee orange, and it made that darker orange look ugly. But when they're not playing a team in orange, sure. I never noticed. I've always liked Clemson's uniforms. So, but yeah, it was Kansas's uniforms are pretty lame. They're lame. They're just not ugly.
They're lame is a good word.
This isn't a good Minnesota too. When they have yellow pants, not white. I agree with that. Like when they have the gold helmet, maroon jerseys, and white pants. I think those actually look kind of sharp.
Yeah, that's solid.
UConn's bland. Yeah, I agree with that. Bowling Green. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but again, it's that orange and brown. That's an ugly combination.
See, orange and brown is terrible. Yeah. What can you do with that? You're a uniform creator. Okay, orange and brown. That's what you've got to work with. Like,
yeah.
Wow. Thanks. That's tough.
Yeah. Colorado. Colorado's uniforms aren't ugly, but they're not nice. They're just, they're kind of like Purdue.
Come out with something.
Yeah. Texas. I actually like Texas Tech's uniforms. And I think Texas Tech does one of the best jobs of mixing up their uniform looks because they have white helmets, black helmets, and red helmets.
Yeah.
And they don't ever go away from their colors, their true colors. They have what I hate about Oregon is like, okay, dude, what color green is your actual school?
Sure.
Because you wear like 45 different versions of it.
Did you know that there's
colors?
There's a high school team in our area that has those exact same helmets. They have white, they got black, and they got red.
Who's that?
Northwood.
And they switch it up?
They switch it up.
From game to game?
Isn't that amazing?
That's cool.
Seriously. Yeah. Like, that is something else.
Yeah. Oregon's are meh. Yeah, I would agree with that. They're not ugly, but that orange and black is just kind of it just kind of is. Wyoming has ugly uniforms. That's what somebody said. Yeah, those I didn't really think
they're
about
brown.
Yeah.
Are they brown?
Brown and yellow.
Yeah.
That's pretty ugly.
It's an unfortunate combination.
It's hard to have a good looking brown uniform. It really is.
Yes.
Like the Cleveland Browns have very little brown for a long time, had very little brown in their uniforms.
Right.
I mean, it was just orange and white was more of the color. But yeah, it's hard to have a good looking brown uniform.
It's tough. It is really tough.
So some interesting answers there. Boise State worst uniforms in field.
Well, field, yes, but that's their thing. That's who they are.
Yeah.
They're iconic for it. Yeah. They just kill a lot of ducks.
Let me say Georgia's uniforms are ho hum. I actually like uniforms, Georgia's helmets, Georgia uniforms, especially when they, because I like the red on red. But like they used to have like gray pants, if I remember correctly, and I really liked that.
Do they not do the gray pants anymore?
I think they will, but they do a lot more white now. White pants now.
Gotcha.
I love the red and gray. I thought that was a really sharp color combination. So I actually kind of, and Georgia's got that weird red. Like it's not red, but it's red. It's not maroon. It's just like you see their jersey next to like Ohio State, and you're like, that's a different red.
Yeah.
And I really like it. I do. Ohio State's uniforms are hit or miss to me. Some they're just too busy sometimes.
Well,
that's my issue with
and I also don't like all the stickers and
I kind of like that. I think that adds something to it.
Hate them.
I think that's cool.
I hate
because I grew up with that, and I think I like it on some uniform. Like I don't like Florida State helmets without the tomahawks on them. It doesn't look right. Like you must suck because you don't have any tomahawks on your helmet. Like when I see an Ohio State helmet with no stickers, I'm like, that guy, that must be a helmet. It's either game one,
right?
Or that guy sucked. That guy never played.
I agree with you that with those particular schools, if they don't have stuff, it looks weird.
Yes.
I agree with you. But if I was starting a team, I'm not doing that. Like that. I
wouldn't do it either. But for them, I think it's really cool.
That I will give
you. But again,
you
why do that. I think it's cool? Because that's what I grew up on.
Sure.
Like if I didn't grow up on that and they started doing it now, I might be like, well, that's kind of lame. What do you, you know what I mean? Like,
but
it's because I grew up on it. It's just, it's like, it doesn't look right without the stickers on it, without the Buckeyes on
now,
it.
I will also say, like, my middle school team did the pride stickers. Yeah. And that was like the coolest thing. The day after the game, the first practice after the game, you got your stickers handed out and you had to put them on your helmet. Like, I dug that when I was a middle school kid. I just, as a fan, I'm not a big,
Yeah. I get it.
I still have pictures of my
I think UCLA is in my top five favorite uniforms. You're going to notice a theme if I start talking about my top five uniforms. You'd notice there's a lot of gold and blue in it. Like Washington, from the minute Washington went to the gold helmets, their uniforms became sweet. The gold, the purple, and the gold. Their old helmets of the purple, which didn't match. It's like the Giants. Remember for our entire lifetime, the Giants had a different color helmet and jersey.
Yes.
It just drove me nuts.
Terrible.
And
one was darker than the other one. And it just didn't.
The helmet was always darker than the jersey. Yeah. Right. But when Washington went gold, purple, and gold, I was like, okay, that's sweet.
It's a good look.
Yeah, it really is. UCLA's in my top five. I love UCLA's uniforms. But that's also partly because I grew up with kind of that color. You know, that light blue, that Columbia blue type is what the team I grew up playing for had, you know, at Bath growing
makes
up.
Sense.
So
makes sense.
Yeah, that kind of factors into it a little bit. Yes, I do like the and even when Washington goes gold, purple, I don't hate that. I think sure. the only problem I have is their purple pants are kind of lame. They're just purple.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing on them. They're just
there's no stripes. Like, okay, there's no
Give me something, right? Like give me a little something on the pants. But yeah, Washington's got to up their pant game a little bit when they don't have the gold pants, but. Gold pants can stand alone as just gold. But if Absolutely. You're going to go purple or white or whatever, it just needs a little something on it. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. I don't know. It's a little strange.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here's an interesting question, Vince.
Is Oregon a blue blood? I argue no. A poll of 200,000 people did not have them on the list of 15.
No, they're not a blue blood.
They haven't done anything. They are the mannequin at Dick's Sporting Goods. Like they have all, you know what I mean? Like they are the poster child of Nike. And that's why they got put kind of in the forefront. Let's be honest. Yes, they've had teams that have been good. They've had teams that are kind of fun to watch.
Recently.
But they're not a blue blood.
Yeah.
A blue blood means you have to have a history. And they don't have a history. I mean,
no.
I'm sorry. They've had some decent players that have come out of there, sure. But they don't have a history. They don't have a blue blood history. They're not a blue blood.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't disagree. I don't disagree at all. They've had 14 conference championships in history. And let's see, eight of them have come since 2000.
Yeah.
They won. And then before that, they won one in 94. And then before that, it was 1957.
Were they relevant before Chip Kelly got there?
No.
I mean, in any way? No.
No. They've never won a national championship. They've won. They're 16-20 all-time in bowl games. One Heisman winner. 10 consensus All-Americans. That's it.
Yeah, sorry.
So, yeah, I just don't see Oregon as a blue blood. I mean, even recently, as good as they've been, they've still never won a title.
Right.
I mean, you've got to win a title at some point to be able for me to call you a blue blood. And
have they been in a national championship game?
Yeah, 2004. They've been in two since Brian Kelly arrived. They played Auburn in 2010. That was the Darren Thomas team. Remember that was a game Michael Dyer, they thought he tackled him, but he's on top of the guy, gets up and runs. Oh. And then in 14, they lost Ohio State in the title game with Marcus Mariota. Okay. So yeah, they've been in it twice.
But being in the title game twice does not a blue blood make.
No. You know? No, it does not.
Just it like not. TCU's not a blue blood.
And just winning a title doesn't make you a blue guy.
Absolutely.
Blood.
Yeah.
But no, you have to at least have that.
Right.
You know, there's teams that have won titles that I don't consider blue bloods, but that doesn't mean that but to be a blue blood, you at least have to have one. I mean, Michigan's only won a half a title since the since the end of World War II or something like that. But at least they have a half a title. But they have a long history of, you know, great football. So I don't know. I don't think there's as many blue bloods as people think that they are, in my opinion. So So as Vince's phone, I'd get mad at you if I didn't have that happen to me like once a week. So
usually I've got it on silent. I was like, oh, better decline.
Yeah.
That. Well,
yeah.
Who that was.
All right. Yeah. It's a good question. No, I do not think that they're a blue blood.
And I don't think they're close, Brian. Like no. It would take them a decade of like being really relevant in like winning a couple titles and like for even me to think of them as a quote unquote blue blood. You need a history, man. Like you need a history.
I will say this, Vince. And I have felt this for a while now. I truly believe that I think it was 07. I'm actually trying to look it up now. It was either 06 or 07. They had a team. I'm trying to find the year. They had a team. Was that the year they had Dennis Dixon at quarterback? I think it was the 07 team. I still think that team could have won a title. It was they ended up going 9-4. It was not a good year in college football. It was not. That was the year LSU won the title with two losses. Huh. They beat Ohio State in the title game. But Oregon at the time, they had Dennis Dixon, a quarterback, who I was a big fan of. They had lost to Cal early in the year. They bounced back. They'd beat Washington State, beat Washington. And then they had back-to-back top 10 wins. They beat USC, who was ninth, and then they beat – that was a Pete Carroll team, and then they beat Arizona State, who was sixth, and they climbed up to number two, and then they went and lost the next week. Dennis Dixon got hurt. They lost to Arizona, UCLA, and Oregon State to close out the season. And I have said before, if Dennis Dixon does not get hurt, I think that Oregon team wins the title because they would have played a Todd Beckman Ohio State team in the championship game. Now, they had Beanie Wells, but, like, they would have smacked that team, in my opinion, and because they had got in over a two-loss LSU team. Like, and I mean, they were number two when they got beat by Arizona. So that would have been a fun team to watch. That would have been a very fun team to watch. All right. Let's get to some more here. Let's try to rock and roll through some of these events.
Sounds good.
Here's a good one
from Jordan. Do you think the Notre Dame defense is going to play better in year two of Golden? If you do, what gives you the hope? There's a lot of people down on Al Golden.
I've said this before. Number one, I don't think Al Golden was as bad as people have said. He didn't do a good job last year, but he didn't do a bad job. Mm-hmm. They were a good, solid defense. He didn't live up to the standard of what you're looking for. And then you look at the fact that you're year two in the system. Hey, Vince, Brian Van Gorder's second year defense got better than his first year defense.
Right.
I don't care how bad of a coach you are, when you've got a bunch of dudes coming back from a defense that you implemented, you're probably going to play better. You've got really good corners, and they've got a ton of defensive linemen. Even if none of them are great, they're going to have a solid front. I don't think their defensive line last year was very disappointing to me. I just think you're going to be a better defense. Now, the question isn't will they be better? I think they will. The question is will they be good enough?
Right.
That's the question.
Yep.
I mean, look, guys, in the three big games they had last year, the defense played pretty well in two of those three games. They played great against Clemson. And if I'd have told you before last year that Notre Dame is going to hold Ohio State to 21 points and probably should have had 24, they had a missed field goal at that time too, right? But if I told you before the year, I can guarantee you one thing, folks. I'm going to guarantee you one thing. Notre Dame will only give up 21 points to Ohio State. They're only going to have 395 yards of offense. And they're only going to average 5.7 yards per play. That's it. 21 points, 395 yards, 5.7 yards per play. You just said, oh, my God, Notre Dame's going to absolutely win that game. There's no way Notre Dame loses that game. Defense didn't lose in that game. They basically held Clemson scoreless until it didn't matter anymore. Clemson didn't score until it was 28-0, right? And even against USC, they didn't play terrible. I didn't like the game plan, but I don't know how I would have game planned necessarily if I'm in his shoes and I don't have Cam Hart and Tariq Bracey.
Yeah, that was
big. You know, I think he made the wrong choice, but, you know, you had some tough calls to make. They played well enough to beat Marshall. They didn't make the money plays to win the game. That's the criticism, but they didn't lose because of the defense, right? You need to make that third and nine stop when it's inside your own 10, when your team's up 15-12. You get the ball back and you go put this game away, right? Make the stop. Right. But – at the time, Marshall had 12 points in the fourth quarter. You know what I mean? And then, of course, they only go up 19 points. Yes, you your offense just gave you a lead to go up 14 to 13. Make the stops to get off the field. Well, they did. They forced the fumble. Okay, but that fumble happened in Stanford's territory. They had a lot of plays that led between the fumble that they should have got and the touchdown or the field goal. So they got to play better than that. But they were not the reason the team went 9-4 last year.
Right.
They weren't. And I expect them to be better. Well, they lost Foskey. I don't think Foskey was that good that last year. His numbers were good.
Right.
I don't think he was that good. You know, there's some other things where I'm like, I think that might actually be an upgrade over where they were. Oh, the safety play. All the guys that played good football at safety last year are back.
Right.
The safeties weren't a problem last year. They weren't great, but they weren't bad.
And you add a healthy Cam Hart for the whole season. I mean,
if you don't have Cam Hart this year instead or Tariq Bracey, you're not putting true freshman Jaden Mickey on the field. You're not putting sophomore season under his belt Jaden Mickey.
Right.
You've got Antonio Carter coming in. You've got Thomas Harper coming in as transfers. You know, you've got Christian Gray who can play as a freshman. Chance Tucker's a year older. Ryan Barnes is a year. I mean, you should be in position to be a really good defense this year. Will it be championship caliber? That I don't know.
And that the depth at linebacker has gotten better. It's the same people, but they're all a year older.
And they're going to know the system better.
Absolutely. Correct. And that's where the year two thing comes in. You know, so because
I anticipate playing better, Vince. Yeah. I do.
A lot of your talent was a first-year player last year, especially at that second level. They're all second-year players now. That makes a big difference.
Yep, agree. Here's one, Vince. Actually, I want to bring this up. Mike Sullivan says, hey, how is Kicking the Mountain Dew going? I lived on it and stopped cold a month ago. Tried one yesterday, and it didn't taste the same. I've been on and off the wagon. For the most part, I've stopped drinking it. I went to Ohio and forgot to tell my – for Memorial Day weekend and forgot to tell my family that I'm trying to stop. And my family who love me in a supportive way, not in a, dude, you're getting fat, stop eating crap kind of way, you know, like this, like that's my dad. He won't say it that way, but you know what I mean? He'll say, hey, I gotta get healthier. But like they've always done things for me. Like I said, my uncle Marty has four kids. They're all girls. I'm the sort of the de facto son. So we go to visit them and his wife, Cheryl, had bought a 36 can of Mountain Dews. Nobody else in the family drinks Mountain Dew but me. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm like, what am I going to say? No. Like, you know what I mean? So, you know, I should have, but I didn't. And so, you know, I drank some then and went to Mission Barbecue the other day and got a Mountain Dew. But like, for the most part, I've stopped drinking it. But it still tastes, when I drink it, it's like, you know, I'm like, oh, so good.
It still tastes really
so good. Unfortunately, Mike, I'm not where you are yet. I wish I did kind of drink it the other day. And I was like, this doesn't taste good anymore, but it does.
But it does.
It does. I wish it didn't. Yeah. I really wish it didn't.
That makes me funny.
Here's a fun non-football question.
Okay. From Rob Osgood, music question. Oh, this is not good for me. What concert, past or present, would you love to go or gone to?
I don't even know if I want to say this.
Yeah, be careful.
Probably Boys to Men when I was a kid. Like those were pretty cool concerts. Yeah, they had some good songs. You know, the coolest concert I ever went to was it was Blackstreet, Keith Sweat led kicked off for New Edition, which was pretty cool.
That had to be fairly
went to that in high school. When I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like in 96.
New Direction is the new group.
No, new edition, bro. I'm not new direction. Hard enough.
I was like, wow, really?
No, new edition. Bobby Brown. Yeah, all those. Yeah.
No, I got you.
The dudes from Belle Biv DeVoe were part of that. Yeah. So it was back in high school.
Gotcha.
You know, like a lot of, like I would never go to a like all the rap groups, I would never go to a rap concert. Like this, no, I'm good. I just hard pass. You know, I don't listen to country music, but I like going to country concerts.
Okay.
It's more concerty. You just sit around singing. It's like, it's not like, you know, fights and mosh pits and all that kind of stuff. It's just like, it's good music. We're hanging out. You know, we're talking, we're singing songs. It's either the one I told you about was great. But the other best concert I've ever been to was Brooks and Dunn. Hmm. I mean, again, I'm not a country guy, but it's just a fun concert, man. It's just real catchy songs. And, you know, so, what's one, Vince? Garth Brooks. That's probably a concert I'd like to go to because I've heard that's a really fun time.
I have too. But, and I know a lot of his music. And so that would be It's like, I don't listen to a lot of music. And so going to a concert where I don't recognize a lot of the music, that doesn't do anything for me. That's just, I don't know. It doesn't, I want to know what I'm listening to.
Yeah.
I don't listen to a lot of music. So that
lot of the music I probably would have enjoyed concerts for is probably before my time. I would have probably enjoyed a Beatles concert.
Sure.
I saw something pop up on my feed the other day. One of my parents must have been listening to some Al Green or something. So my mom's like, and the parents were like, they were big, you know, the Detroit music, the soul music, you know, just
Motown.
There you go. I mean, growing up as a kid, I had Beatles records, I had Frankie Valli and Four Seasons. Everything else I had was Motown. It was the Temptations. Man. It was, you know, my mom was a big Al Green fan. I don't know if Al Green was Motown, but, and so that's stuff I grew up on. And, so there was an Al Green concert. I was like, man, that's like a concert you could go to and like, you know, you could dance to that one and enjoy the music, but you don't really have music like that anymore. It's like, like bumping and grinding and all. And it's just like, nah, I'm good, man.
Yeah, I mean,
I know one concert I definitely wouldn't go to now.
Taylor Swift, you know,
bingo,
Swiftie concert, buddy.
There is nothing anyone could do to get me to go to a Taylor Swift concert, unless it was like a concert at an event I was already at.
Right.
You know, they're going to play it at halftime of a Notre Dame game that I'm at. Then I might even still walk out. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go into the back because, you know, there's places you can escape from that. I'd probably, so I could say, nah, well, I didn't watch it. So I don't know why I dislike her so much. I really don't.
Seriously.
I really dislike her a lot, and I don't know why.
That's okay.
But I do.
And I think she's kind of like the Yankees. I think she's a love it or hate her kind of thing, and I respect that. I don't, you know, it is what it is. But
and just the whole genre of music, you know, and then just the whole, I don't know, she's taking some stances on things that just make me like, wow, you are an entitled little brat. Like, just shut up. And your whole career is made on like writing songs about people that you broke up with. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Like, give me a break. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, was it Michael J. Fox who like basically told his son, like, I don't want you to date her. Like, she's going to write a bunch of, it was like some famous dad was like told his kid, like, I don't want you to date her because she's just going to write a bunch of songs about you when the relationship ends. And I was like, that's exactly what I'd say if I had a kid. Like, if Dylan, you know, was older and dating Taylor Swift, I'd be like, heck no, man, because it's not going to work out, right?
It's definitely not going to work out.
She's capable of being in a relationship that's going to work out, and then she's going to write a bunch of songs dogging you.
Yeah,
you know, so
I would have him. You gotta sign like a prenup type thing where any song that she writes about him, we get a cut.
There you go.
That's what you got to do. You got to play the system, baby.
There you go.
You know,
but it wouldn't be worth it.
No, it wouldn't. No, you're absolutely right about that.
Would not be worth it.
Anthony Bell, 1-10. How funny will this be when it happens? Ryan Day gets fired after going 11-0 in 2024 with back-to-back losses to
that school up north.
Oh,
that team up north, Michigan.
Gotcha. Since they can now play each other in the title game.
Oh, man. So what he's saying is, so it would be 2024. I would assume he means after the 23 season.
Because of the
24. Okay, so next year is when the new schedule starts.
Yep, exactly.
So he's saying that they're going to lose to Ohio State, Michigan in the end of the season and then lose again a week later.
Ohio State, Michigan. Yeah.
Oh, exactly. My God. Ohio State fan, Archer, any other Ohio State fans that might have been here that don't post, honest question. What would your reaction be? I seriously want to know the answer to this. We'll move on to another question while I wait for answers. What would your reaction be if Ohio State lost back-to-back games to Michigan? Not back-to-back season to season.
No, back-to-back.
Like, oh, my God, Vince. Could you imagine this? When the playoff expands to 12,
Ohio State
goes 11-0. They go 0-2, get to the playoff, win their first-round game, and then they have to play Michigan again and lose again. That's a bit crazy. Honest, but this one is more reasonable. Honestly, I'm curious how
this will happen.
This will happen.
Well, they'll one play of them, and then have to play again.
To one of them, it would 06. They would have had to play again in 06. Remember that phenomenal 1-2 game in 06? What a great game that was. Yeah, what this Chad Henne, quarterback on others. Who was the quarterback? Was it Beanie Wells that had the long run for Ohio State in that game, the 50-yard TD run or something like that? That was a great game. Great game. I'd be curious how you guys would feel about that one. Oh, but that would be crazy. 1-10, how funny. I don't know if it'd be funny because I don't know if I would ever laugh about someone getting fired, but ironic. I mean, that's a 10 on the irony scale. I mean, no doubt about it.
I'm trying to decide what I would enjoy more, this scenario or the opposite.
Oh, I would much rather enjoy watching Michigan lose twice more. Oh, yeah. There's no, that's an easy answer. As obnoxious as Ohio State fans have become.
Right. That's the thing. It's like,
But Michigan fans are worse to me. Like they are. Ohio State fans are nasty.
Yeah.
Michigan fans are stupid.
That's a really good delineation. I appreciate that.
And
that's
all. I mean, obviously there's good fans from both. We're painting just like there's stupid brush. Notre Dame fans, right?
For sure.
You guys get the point that I'm making.
Yeah.
Oh, and Archer, I get what you're saying. He said that would be the worst thing in the history of the program. Ask Antoine about the flip scenario. Yeah, I'm curious to you, Antoine. Same for you. What would happen? How would you feel if they lost back-to-back games to, again, within a week, end of the regular season, and then because that's going to happen to one of those two teams in the next 5-6 years. It's going to happen.
It will absolutely. It'll happen. I don't know if it'll be to that degree. Like, I don't know if Ohio State would be 11-0 and then lose two games to Michigan or the opposite. Right? That would be. Yeah. That would be rough.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's one from Jordan Schreiber.
Brian, is that an Army green IB shirt? Hoo-wah!
IB Nation. So, yeah, I don't know if this is in the store or not. I made this for myself. I also have a camo IB hat, Vince, that I'm going to break out for Veterans Day to go with this shirt.
So, you got to wait all the way till November, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Gonna wait till it's some sort of military appreciation show we'll have one of these days. I want to wear for that. So yeah. Nice. But yes, it is. It is IB Nation Army Green. I got it intentionally done this way, so I can have something a little bit different. Yep.
My daughter, by the way, loves the gold shirt. She saw me in it today. She's like, "Dad, I've never seen you wear that shirt before." She's like, "I like it." So you got the seal of approval from Chloe.
I'm glad she does.
Guinea pig clips. Do you see Snead starting by the end of the year?
Yeah, technically, yes. I actually see Jalen Snead starting at the beginning of the year in certain packages. Because you have to understand the way Notre Dame counts it, they have starters. They have more than just one set of starters.
Right.
They have nickel starters, they have base defense starters, they have dime package starters, third down package starters. So I think Jalen will be a starter in that early. I think what Guinea Pig Clips is asking is more, will he be a base defense starter by the end of the year? No, I don't think so, barring injury. I look, part of it's because I think Jack Kaiser is a better player than Notre Dame fans give him credit for. It's not great, but he's a good football player, productive football player, if you use him correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Snead to me is in this season is in a let's let him get his feet wet, let's let him be in the rotation, let's let him play, let's use him in packages, and then have him poised to start in 2024. That's where I'm wanting to see from him. Same thing with Nolan Ziegler. I mean, unless he beats Maris Luafau out, which is possible. You know, it's, hey, get him a bunch of reps, let him be a key rotation player, get him in some packages, have him start on about every special team you have, and then he takes that sucker over in 2024, and he's got a lot of experience under his belt if he hasn't started. That, to me, would be the ideal scenario. Because I could see Nolan Ziegler being the primary backup to both Mike and Will this season. I could see that. I could certainly see that. Thoughts? What are your thoughts on that one, Vince?
No, I'm with you. I think I don't – he has a lot of talent. Jalen Snead has a lot of talent. There's no doubt about that. But if the way I like it is he's going to get a lot of experience this year. He's going to be on the field a lot. And whether he's out there in the first play of the game, you know, as the quote unquote starter or not, I don't know that that matters. Like, he's going to be in there when it matters. And that's the biggest part. And I agree with you. I think, you know, easing him in, letting him be a big part of things this year, and then being the guy next year. I think that, because then he'll have 2 years of eligibility left after that as well, right? So that's where you want to be. I mean, that's what's called a good succession program. I don't really want, I mean, yes, these guys were all highly touted guys when they came in, you know, all of these things. It was great. You're not in a good place if all these freshmen are playing right away. You're not in a good situation. So I feel a lot better about them easing their way in, and then they take over, and you got boom, 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 boom. And then the next guys will take over after him, you know, that whole kind of a thing. So I think that is a great place for Notre Dame to be And I think that's where they are, barring kind of injury or whatever, mm-hmm. right? I think their depth chart is very healthy right now. I like their depth chart at linebacker. I really, yeah. really
And they've that. Got two freshmen for sure that I think could help you this year as well.
Absolutely.
You know, and especially on special teams, you know, so they're going to be much deeper and athletic on line, bad linebacker this year. And honestly, if fresh, I'm much more, hey, if a starter goes down to injury, yeah, it sucks for that kid, but they'll be all right. Like, yeah. that's just how I feel right now. I don't want to see it happen, but they'll be
all right. Of course not. Right.
Much better, much more so.